Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy G. is not here this week. He made other plans because we had a little mix-up on when we were going to record this show. Today is Saturday. And if I don't know the scores to any of the semifinals of the ACC tournament or the finals of the Big East, it's because it's Saturday, okay?
Well, right now you're in the air. How's it feel?
I love it.
You're flying.
I was telling Matt that on my way here to the studio this morning, I felt better than I've ever felt. I felt wide awake when I got up this morning. It might be because I've gotten a lot more sleep since wrestling season is over. But honest to God, Saturday radio is the best. One of these days, I'll probably be doing 5-6 days a week. Anyway, I'm so young. People are dying to get me on the air. I can't wait. Now, I leave tomorrow morning. One of the reasons we're taping the show today is because I leave for spring training in Arizona early tomorrow morning. In other words, so early, I got to get up at like 4 a.m., take a shower, because, of course, I've got the cheapest fare available going out there. I'll be in Arizona before 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll probably be there at 9:30.
So they'll only have been drunk for about 3 hours by the time you get there.
Half the people in Arizona, at least where I'm going to hang out, will still be in bed on a Sunday morning. Or they should be in church repenting the sins that they made on Saturday night. I'm Bruce Hall.
I will never do that again.
Yeah, right.
I will never drink that much again.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Being sober 29 years almost, I don't feel sorry for a damn one of them. Anyway, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We got a great lineup today. You know, one of the things that you have to do when you don't have your co-host that you're used to making fun of and screaming at and arguing with is you have to, like, fill 2 hours of airtime. Well, I'm filling it today with Mike McCartney, one of the greatest agents, especially he's an NFL agent is what he is. He's got, you know, probably 20 to 30 people he represents. Was really in the news with several of them this week. His father was Bill McCartney. He was the head coach at Colorado. They won a national championship in the early 90s. And then, you know, they had Cordell Stewart. They had Mike Westbrook. They had all kinds of guys. Rasham Salaam, if you remember that name from the early 90s, he's not some kind of a religious guy. He was a great running back and was drafted in the first round out there. He's going to be on Clark Judge, you know, straight from New York on his way to a parade that his daughter's going to be in, is going to be on the air with us talking about this phenomenal week that we've had in the NFL. Now, look, if you're an NFL fan, you can't get excited at free agent time, 4 o'clock Tuesday. NFL Network, those people, they never went home. They had sleeping bags. And by the way, a couple of girls that are on that show, I would have had sleeping bags too. Carol, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it was a great week, but Clark's going to get on the air with us and talk a little bit about all the people that, you know, he thinks made good moves. We might even be able to get who he thinks the Super Bowl pairing is going to be next year, because I'm already making my free agent pairing drive. Most of the free agency with the good people, and I don't mean that to sound bad, but the highest, most of the big money's gone. Even the people that were $30 to $40 million under the cap, they're a hell of a lot closer to their cap number now. And what you're going to see now is just a lot of, you may see a couple of people released this week, just to make cap room, and you may see some people picked up, but it's been a great week. I'm also going to have Tony Mazur, one of our favorite guys on from Cleveland. We're going to talk, to Tony about the Browns. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the NFL in general. From what I understand, in Cleveland, it's snowing. Hello. And great. It's almost April and they're going to get a foot of snow in Cleveland. It's probably lake effect snow. And Mike Wise of the Washington Post, you know, great columnist with the Washington Post, is going to get on. We're going to talk about the Redskins and their name change. And to be honest with you, I'm on Mike's side on this, because even though, and you can't say just liberals want this, I'm as I'm a little bit to the right, probably, of Rush Limbaugh. I'm just kidding. I'm actually to the left of Limbaugh, but not far to the left of Limbaugh, and I believe they should change their name, too. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Today, Saturday, a lot of basketball. I'm going to talk right now a little bit about a couple of things. Georgetown loses in overtime to Syracuse. Just when you thought Syracuse was done, they beat a team like Georgetown that may have cost Georgetown their number one seed in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be close. They may still get a one, but they're probably going to end up with a two now. And that probably got Syracuse up maybe to a four or a five. If anybody thinks Syracuse deserves a three, please have a drug test immediately. They don't deserve a three. Also, there's some problems in New York right now with a team called the Knicks. J.R. Smith made some statements basically saying that they didn't bring any heart with them on a road trip recently. I don't disagree with him because there's a lot of weird stuff going on. The problem with the Knicks is you got a great coach, but he's still got to play with a hand that was dealt to him. There's nothing he can do about that. And, hopefully the Knicks will, continue to play pretty well for the rest of the season. Evidently, Melo's knee is bothering him, whatever. Yankees and the Mets, who knows? The Yankees, there was talk that they were actually making offers, Chipper Jones, he's 40. He retired. He got 20 cars, all kinds of stuff given to him because he's retired. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. You know that
chick that used to dance a lot? We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome, people. This is Bruce Hall, and I'm without Roy today. It's going to be a little different show, and it's a Saturday. I haven't told a lie since the fourth grade. And I got to tell you, we're pre-recording this show because I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to actually be on an airplane when we're doing our show tomorrow. Headed to Arizona spring training where I'm going to team up with Bruce Bochy, hang out for a week, and get all those great interviews I got last year. Two out of the last 3 years, I've happened to hang with the world champions. I'm hoping to do that again. But we got Mike McCartney on the phone right now. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I wish you would hang with my Detroit Tigers, though.
Can I tell you what? I was stuck in Detroit, Mike. I know you love Detroit. We talked about this. Mike and I are really good Twitter buddies. And this is one of the first times that Mike and I have ever really gotten a chance to talk to each other. And it's great. Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on because Mike is an agent. And he's also an NFL agent. And there's a lot of rules and regulations that go with that. And there's also a lot of ethics. Correct, Mike? So he's got to be real careful what he says to me. And I told him I would never put him in a bad position, and I'm not. Mike comes from a football family. Your dad's, what was his first name again?
His Bill.
Yeah, Bill McCartney. And you have an uncle named Paul that was in the Beatles? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we were just talking about a background. I didn't realize that you coached 1 year, the year they won the national championship. What year was that?
Well, I coached there in 89, and we played for the national championship against Notre Dame and got beat. The next year, I coached at North Carolina, and Colorado played Notre Dame again in the national championship. And if you remember, Georgia Tech that year ended up sharing it with Colorado. Well, they had a blemish on their record. They had tied North Carolina. So when I went to the Orange Bowl, I wore a bright blue Carolina jacket on the sideline, and I told my dad, we were a part of you winning the national championship.
And you coached with Mac Brown then. And Mac Brown, and you, what was his brother's name? He had a really funny name.
Watson Brown.
Watson. He was an East Carolina assistant coach, I want to say, back in the 70s. And Mac, I think, might have spent a year in Greenville. I'm an East Carolina alum. Everybody on my show knows that. My summer baseball team, my wooden bat college team, wears purple and gold. And that ought to tell you all you need to know. But listen, that was when, now Colorado back then, was that Mike Westbrook and Slash?
No, that was Darian Hagan and Eric Bieniemy, Mike Pritchard, Alfred Williams. We had a lot of great
players. A better defense Mike then. Dad, had a better defense.
We had a great defense. We were running the option. And then the 94 is the guys you were referring to, Westbrook and Rashawn Salaam and Cordell Stewart. And they had a great team that year as well. That's the year they beat Michigan on the Hail Mary.
Now, let me ask you this. You went to North Carolina. You coached there with Mac till when?
I was there in 90 and 91, and then I went to the Chicago Bears, where I was a pro scout for 6 years, and then I went to the Eagles for 3, where I was the director of pro personnel, and then 12 years ago, I became an agent.
You were director of pro personnel for the Philadelphia Eagles. I didn't even know that. I can't even find that online. And let me tell you, who were you? Where? Who was? Now Andy wasn't there yet, right? Who was there?
Well, Tom Modrek was the general manager, and we got there in Ray Rhodes last year.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was a tough year.
Well, Ray was in D.C., too, and he didn't have a great time in Washington either.
Ray is a really good person. It just was a tough deal. And then Andy came in. We drafted McNabb, and we ended up in the playoffs our second year, 2 games from the Super Bowl. I left to become an agent, and they went to 4 straight NFC championships without me. So, my timing wasn't great again.
One of my best friends left Washington, Raleigh McKenzie, twin brother Reggie, and I'm sure you know Rollo. Were you there when Raleigh was there? Because that was Juan Castillo's first. Juan Castillo was his offensive line coach. That's why when people talk to me about when Juan was getting this bad rep, this past year, I told everybody I knew. I said, Raleigh McKenzie told me he was the best coach he ever had. I mean, he was just coaching defense. He wasn't coaching offense.
Yeah, Juan is an excellent football coach, and there's nobody in the NFL that will outwork Juan Castillo. Excellent coach.
That's exactly what Raleigh said to me. So anyway, I like the way you got into agency because you went the blue-collar way. You actually figured, you went through football, and then after – God, a dozen years of being on the other side of an agent's table, you decided you wanted to represent these guys because obviously you know what you knew what they needed. And tell me a little bit about your agency, and tell me about who you can tell us you represent. Obviously, you're still in negotiations. This is one hell of a year. Just tell me a little bit about your agency and how you finally got into that.
I work for Priority Sports, and we're based out of Chicago. When I was at the Eagles, I was pretty much the point person for all agents to talk to about our players. And so I really kind of knew who was legitimate, who operated with integrity. It was real important for me to join an agency that had great experience and great integrity. I never wanted to cross a line, that is easy to cross in this business. So I joined Priority Sports, and we do value our name, our reputation, our integrity. You know, we get really good players. We get really good kids. Haloti Ngata, one of our guys. Arian Foster. I had a couple in free agency this week, Rashard Mendenhall, Drew Stanton. So we take a lot of pride in getting blue-collar guys who love the game of football.
You know what? You mentioned Drew Stanton. A lot of people, especially younger people, won't know who he is. He was the guy that was better than Tom Brady at the University of Michigan. And I got to tell you, I've read a lot of books, and I'm not going to mention one of the books. It's one of my favorites, but it was about a certain little scandal that went on up there. And I got to tell you, it was some great stuff in there about Drew. And I love Drew. I love Drew Stanton.
Are you thinking about Greasy? Because Drew went to Michigan State. Are you thinking about Greasy?
I apologize. I get all of those famous ex-college quarterbacks mixed up. But Drew Stanton was a baseball player too, right?
Yeah, Drew's a heck of an athlete.
Is he a pitcher or an outfielder?
Ooh, I don't know if I remember.
You know what?
That.
I'm pretty sure he's an outfielder because I want to say he signed with the Yankees, and he played, what, 3 or 4 years in the minor leagues, and it just didn't work out for him. And now he's
That's Drew Henson. That's Drew Henson.
And that word. God, aren't you glad you're talking to a guy that really knows what the heck he's talking about? Well, at least you know who I'm talking about. Well, tell me about your guy. Now, where has he been, Stanton?
Okay. Well, Drew was he played at Michigan State. He had a couple of epic battles with Brady Quinn when Michigan State played Notre Dame, and he was a second round pick with the Detroit Lions. Spent 5 years there, and then backed up Andrew Luck this past year in Indy. And what's interesting is Drew hasn't really played in 2 years.
Right.
And yet as we go into free agency, you know, of the 32 teams, there was probably one job that was maybe open for competition. And of all the quarterbacks, you know, we're thrilled that the Cardinals have come after Drew and given him a chance to compete for a starting job.
Now, Mendenhall just signed. He just signed a one-year deal, right? Where did he sign?
Rashard Mendenhall signed in Arizona as well, and the connection, his offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh is Bruce Arians, who's now the head coach. And, you know, Rashard had a tough year. He only had about 50 carries, and, you know, he's 25 years old.
He was hurt, right?
Interestingly, yeah, he was coming off an ACL, and everyone knows that you're better in your second year than your first year coming off that injury. What's interesting about Rashard, he has, in 5 years, less pro touches than Monty Ball has at Wisconsin. So there's very little wear and tear for a 25-year-old back, and we just believe let's put him in a system that is going to accentuate his ability, and, you know, he'll be back on the market at 26, and let's see if he can hit it pretty big at that point.
Well, that was smart, too, because they probably didn't want to jump out there, and that's probably the side of being of the agency that you're really good at. They don't want to sign a guy like Mendenhall for 2 or 3 years anyway unless they can steal him. And you got him something in between, figuring that he was going to get enough touches, he was going to look good enough this year to get a better deal, maybe even there in Arizona. Now, Arizona, there's about 4 or 5 teams, in my opinion, that kind of hit home runs this week. Arizona's one of them. And I love Bruce Arians. I mean, what Bruce Arians did in Indianapolis this year to me is amazing. Tell us a little bit about the other guy. You have somebody else out in Arizona too, right?
No, not in Arizona. I had Jason Jones, who was an inside pass rusher with the Seattle Seahawks. He signed with Detroit this week, which I'm pretty excited about because, you know, they have Ndamukong Suh. They have Fairley from Auburn, and what they really needed was an inside pass rushing presence, and Jason's really disruptive, and so he'll play against a really good player and maybe won't face many double teams, and I think it's going to be a good year for Jason. Plus, he grew up 15 minutes from the Lions facility, so he's home and he's real excited.
Now, Seattle to me, and what's happened in the NFC West is nothing less of remarkable to me. They've got some great Pete Carroll. I've always been a Pete Carroll fan. Pete Carroll was a Southern Cal guy. I mean, he's been everywhere. He coached, I guess, the Jets for 2 or 3 years, and then he went back to college football, and he loved it. And now he's in Seattle, and Seattle was one game away from a championship game, right?
Yeah, Seattle's got some talent now. And, you know, what they did at the quarterback position is they kept signing a number of guys to 2-year deals, and they just were kind of rolling the dice until they hit on one. And of course they hit on one in the third round this year, and they're sort of done that with their pass rush as well. They added Cliff Averill from Detroit, which I understand they're going to play as a stand-up linebacker. And then they added Michael Bennett from Tampa, and those were both done on short-term deals. So I think with the guys they have coming back and those two additions, they're going to bring a lot of what we'll call fastballs in their pass rush. A lot of guys that can really get up the field in a hurry.
Yeah, I was looking at who they were looking at in the draft. There's a guy out there, Danny Kelly. You probably know him. He's a beat writer out there, and he's real high on a North Carolina product, offensive guard or tackle, an offensive lineman that he thinks they may draft in the first round. You know, Seattle to me, I mean, it was just a matter of time before they got a lot better, but they just stepped it up so fast. And what they did, Russell Wilson, I mean, a third round draft choice, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I give a ton of credit to John Schneider, their general manager. John kind of grew up under Ron Wolf in Green Bay, and he is a terrific evaluator, a terrific communicator as well with agents and players. And he knew early on that he loved Russell Wilson. Now, I was hoping he was going to take Kirk Cousins, and Kirk's in your backyard.
But, now, is he your guy? Is he your guy?
Yeah, Kirk is one of my guys.
Let me tell you, he's a player.
He is a player, no question. And he's a tremendous person as well.
You know, it couldn't have worked out better for him. You know, what happened to Robert Griffin at the end of the season was devastating from a standpoint. The injury was just the last thing that he needed, the last thing the Redskins organization needed. But when Kirk Cousins stepped up and took over for him, it was like nothing happened, especially in the game he started. I want to say that was against Cleveland. And he ended up winning the ball game, and he had phenomenal stats. I think he had a quarterback rating in the 120s. It was amazing. Listen, we're going to be back in a minute. I got Mike McCartney on the line. Mike, can you stay and do another segment with us?
Absolutely.
All right, Mike, we'll be right back. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yeah, Roy G ain't here. He's probably still in bed nursing a hangover. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm on the phone right now with Mike McCartney, one of my favorite people anywhere. Mike operates an agency. He's an NFL agent. And this past week, Mike, you know, I said this morning, I was talking to Clark Judge, who's coming on the show later today, and I said everything in the NFL is becoming a production now. And it was a very short answer. He goes, "You're right." It's like, but I love it. You know, I love NFL Network. I love, you know, I mean, this past week, you didn't represent a former defensive tackle from Tampa, did you?
No.
Let me tell you something. You know, you got to give it to him. He whispered it, but, you know, him whispering, you know, an F-bomb three times is pretty audible. And when I heard that, I just couldn't help but laugh. But the good news was at least it was on NFL Network, which is on cable, and it's, you know, on satellite. It's not prime time. And, you know, I just feel bad for Warren because this might be his second or third strike. So hopefully nothing will happen. But listen, let's talk real – how did you feel about that? I mean, did you think that that was maybe NFL Network's fault for not having a producer cut his mic off?
I mean, that was interesting. That's a tough mistake. And what I will say, though, is, you know, there is definitely a push from the business / marketing side of the NFL to, you know, take the NFL into places where a lot of coaches and scouts and agents don't want to see it. I can feel there's a lot of tension right now between where they're trying to go and the globalization of football and the marketing arm of it. You know, we're kind of losing some of the purity of the game, and they want to move the calendar out and push the draft into May. And it's already a short off season for a lot of these NFL guys. So it's going to be interesting to kind of watch this unfold because there is a lot of tension right now between what they want to do and what the insiders want to do.
You know, the rule changes are – a lot of people don't even know, but they got together and had a preliminary – group of owners talked this past week, I think, and then it'll be more formal later on. But Emmitt Smith came out, and I'm glad he did. He came out because Emmitt Smith is what, 5'9", 5'10", 210 pounds. And as far as I remember, and here I go again without notes, he holds the all-time rushing record in the NFL. One of the greatest running backs I've ever seen. Of course, he played behind four All-Pros, which helped. But I got to tell you, he had something good to say. They're talking about if you drop your head, meaning lean forward and tuck your chin, you can be whistled for that this coming year, possibly.
I agree with Emmitt. That's absurd.
It is absurd. You don't lead. You know, you're not going to stand straight up and get crushed. You know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And guys aren't going to stop hitting you with their helmet. You were a coach. Did you coach defense, Mike, or did you coach offense?
Offense.
Well, all right. Yeah. As a defensive back coach and a linebacker coach, which I've done in the past, we always taught everybody to see the hit, which means you're going to be leading with your face mask no matter what you do. You might hit them slightly in the helmet and slide off. My hero when I played football was Chris Hamburger and Kenny Houston. Those were my I didn't hit anybody below the waist unless they weighed 230, 240. Because right. I wanted them to know that I hit them. Does that make sense? It seems like we're getting away from the physical part of football because maybe a lot of lawyers are telling these guys that if they don't change things, they could be, you know, liable somehow for a whole lot of money one day. And you know what I say? And you tell me what you think. I would go to an NFL game if they didn't play with pads. I'd go no matter what. I don't care if they're playing with pads or helmets or anything. Some of the best fun football games I ever played in my life was street ball. We didn't have any pads on. We just had football cleats. We had elbow pads, maybe. We dressed warm. Do you ever see the league going to something where it's more like a rugby dress?
I don't. I don't think we're going to go that far. I think the league is probably in the right way, trying to keep the game safer, and they've isolated a few ways that players are getting hurt. So I do appreciate, from a player's perspective, they want to keep players safe. We can't lose, though, what the game of football is all about. And players understand the risk. They understand what they're getting into. If we can keep it safer and maybe have better protocols for handling concussions and handling injuries, you know, that'll help as well. But it's a game we love, and we love the collision aspect of the sport.
Well, you know, football is also a game of physics, and you're a pretty intelligent guy, and you know what I'm talking about. One thing that bothers me is the size of these guys now. And there aren't that many guys that are built like brick outhouses. Do you know what I mean? If they're 350, 360, 340. Do you think, I mean, these guys, it just seems, mess their metabolisms up so bad over a period of 5 to 10 years that they have a hard time, if they're not the right kind of person, dropping that weight later that'll save them years on their life. How do you feel about that? And I'm sure as an agency, you approach this, and like everything else, you help these guys, am I correct, with their finances, you help them with health issues, you help them with schools, you help for their kids, you help them with everything, don't you?
You know, it's interesting. We have a guy in our firm, Derek Gilmore, who's really got a heart and a passion for helping guys with their life outside of football or after football. And a couple of years ago, we developed our own symposium, and we call it Planning for Life After Football Now. When you're in the NFL, you have a lot of doors open to you. You have a lot of people who want to be in relationship with you. The day you stop playing, for the rank and file, for most players, most of those doors shut. And if you don't plan ahead of time what you're going to do after football, then you're going to be, you're going to be facing on your own often. So what we've done is we have this symposium. We do it every year where we invite every one of our athletes, and we end up getting about 15 different speakers. Some are for career choices after football, and many of them are for, you know, how to handle things that you're talking about. And we're trying to engage our guys and let them know that we're there for them. There are resources. You have to make a decision to pick up the phone and say, hey, I want a little guidance here. I was speaking to Chris Dielman. Chris Dielman was a four-time Pro Bowler, recently retired with the San Diego Chargers. And this week we're talking, I said, how's your weight? He says, hey, I'm trying to get my weight down. But, Mike, I've never felt better in my life. I'm spending an hour and a half every day, and I got a great juicer, and I've got unbelievable energy right now.
I love that. My wife just bought one.
Yeah, he was sharing with me. He spends an hour and a half. This is an offensive lineman, a 300-pounder.
Yeah.
And he's slicing and dicing vegetables and fruits for an hour and a half every day. And he's raving about how great he feels. And that just warmed my heart personally.
Well, hey, listen, for those of you out there that just tuned us in New York, we're talking to Mike McCartney, agent extraordinaire, former NFL coach, former NFL director of pro personnel for the Eagles, that I found out today that I couldn't find anywhere reading up about you. Mike, let me tell you, the way that I like to learn people is talking to them. I got to tell you, if I was a college athlete, Do you represent baseball too?
Our firm just does football and basketball, and I solely do football.
Let me ask you a question. What other guys that you represent, if you don't mind dropping a few names here, since we're on in New York and there's probably 5 million people that are able to listen to us, what guys do you represent that you're not in the process of renegotiating anything with?
Well, we did. I mentioned Haloti Ngata, Arian Foster, a great player in the making of Sean Lee, the Dallas Cowboys linebacker.
Oh, he's a stud.
He is a stud. A.J. Hawk. We just kind of renegotiated A.J.'s deal this past week to ensure he'll be there the next couple of years. Paul Posluszny. You know, I sat
next to Paul at a giant Pittsburgh Pirate game. He's real good friends.
Did you really?
Yeah, you know who he's good friends with? And I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's just the way I'm built. But Paul I can't even pronounce his name. It's got a P and it's got a lot of vowels in it. But Paul, now who is he with Buffalo now, or did he got traded to Jacksonville, didn't he?
Well, he signed a free agent contract with Jacksonville coming out of the lockout 2 years ago.
You know, he's one of the highest paid linebackers in football. And I'll tell you what, I sat next to the guy. Everybody thought he was some kind of movie star. He's a good looking guy. His girlfriend or his wife is drop dead gorgeous. And he's best friends with a guy playing third base, Kevin Franzen, who was a Triple A player for the Giants, basically, when they got Pablo Sandoval. They didn't need, you know, they didn't need him, and he couldn't play second and short because they had guys, you know, that they were prepping to do that. So he ended up in Philadelphia, and since he's got to Philly, he's hit about 320, 330, and I think this spring he's hitting like 400, but he's one of Paul's best friends. Keep going. Don't let me interrupt you anymore. Go ahead.
Well, and yesterday we signed Roy Miller from Tampa. He's a defensive tackle, blue-collar, great kid.
He just
signed with Jacksonville to protect Paul Posluszny.
No, and, I hear you. He's a big kid. He's a run stopper, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. He does all the dirty work. You know, in the draft, we've got Michael Mowdy from Penn State, another one of those great Penn State linebackers. Gerald Hodges, also a linebacker from Penn State. We got DJ Fluker from Alabama and Jesse Williams from Alabama. So we really focus on getting kids that love football, want to do things the right way. And because of that, and we're very honest, we're very blue collar, we keep our clients and we have great relationships with a lot of them.
Hey, listen, you know what, Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You've been great. Hey, I want you come back sometime. Will you do that?
Absolutely, sure.
Hey, listen, it was great talking to you. That was Mike McCartney, NFL agent extraordinaire, in my opinion, one of the greatest guys on Twitter. Mike, what's your Twitter handle?
I appreciate that. Mike McCartney 7.
At Mike McCartney 7. Sounds great. I'll be talking to you soon. I'll bring you something back from Arizona, okay?
All right, Bruce, great being on with you guys.
Yeah, you too, Mike. I'll talk to you later. Mike McCartney, people. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. One man to
back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. I'm on the phone with one of my favorite people, Tony Mazur from Cleveland, Ohio. Tony, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm pretty cold. I'm looking at the weather, and the groundhog obviously lied because it's March. It's the middle of March right now, and it's just continuing to snow here.
Is it snowing outside? I mean, is it sticking? That's a stupid question. It's probably 25 degrees.
Yeah, it's about 30, low 30s. Snow's sticking now. It's just it, it's it's so bad to be around this, and I'm so tired of it. For anyone who's going out to Arizona for spring training or Florida,
I apologize for that.
I'm
really jealous.
They say spring comes in like a lamb or a lion. This year, it's coming in like a turtle.
Hey Tony, you're making a lot more money than me though, because every time I go to Twitter, and that's at Tony Mazur, MAZUR, right?
That's correct.
Hey, every time I go to Twitter, he's working. You know, he's either doing a comedy show or he's a DJ. Aren't you a DJ in Cleveland too? You do a lot of gigs like that.
Yeah, I do that. I clearly don't make enough money at my one job, so I figured I'd add a couple of jobs where I'm not making enough money.
Hey, you know what? You're young. I don't feel sorry for you. Once again, though, I've just coached my last wrestling event for high school, and I'm going to miss it, but I'll actually be able to make money from November until March now. It's amazing. Let's talk a little bit. You know why I always get you on? Cleveland is in the news sports-wise. Not so much. Kyrie Irving's hurt, so, you know, they're – you know, it looks like the Cavaliers aren't doing quite as well as they expected to do, and I feel bad about that. You know, Ohio State isn't doing a whole lot. Dayton isn't going anywhere, right? What are the other, because we got NCAA pairings tomorrow. What's the closest city to you where there's a Division I college team that's actually going to make it to the dance?
Well, tonight we have Ohio University in Akron, and they're always the seeds. They'll come around 13, 14, and have a possibility of an upset. OU did that last year to Michigan, almost knocked off North Carolina in the next round. So you never know in this time. Ohio State is they started off really badly against Nebraska, ended up winning. Ohio State's a big question mark, And I'm just looking around the state, like, who's actually doing the best? Right now it's the Columbus Blue Jackets.
There you go. Is that a high school team?
Yeah, pretty much. They've played like one since 2000.
Hey, listen, let's talk a little bit about the Browns. Now, you got a new head coach for the Cleveland Browns, and you know, he's been there before. He's a blue-collar guy. He's got a pretty good coaching staff put around him so far that I've seen. Not really sure what's going on in the general manager's office, but Cleveland had some movement in the past week. Tell me some of the bigger things that happened in Cleveland. Who'd you guys get rid of? Who'd you guys pick up?
Well, the Browns were switching to a 3-4 defense, which a lot of us around town didn't understand. They were actually, with Flowers last year or the last 2 years, they were a 4th and a 4-3. And actually improving, had some of the guys. The problem is Browns don't have enough linebackers now. Scott Fujita's gone. Not sure what the status of Chris Gokong and DeQuell Jackson with the new scheme. So now you have a 3-4. And this past week, the Browns picked up a couple of defensive guys, which will make Ray Horton, the new D coordinator, happy. Picked up Paul Kruger from the Baltimore Ravens and Desmond Bryant from the Raiders. To be a defensive tackle. So now, I guess it's like being a pitcher, having a roster of pitchers in baseball, where it's like you can never have enough pitchers. In this case, you can never have enough defensive linemen, because you'll have Ataba Rubin, Phil Taylor, John Hughes, Desmond Bryant now. You have a whole slew of these guys that they can rotate in and out there on the line. It's just now the concern is they need cornerbacks. And
they've got an all-pro back who was hurt part of the season, but there's a lot of defensive backs. Matter of fact, one of the things they're seeing is one of the reasons Ed Reed doesn't really have a home yet is that safeties aren't getting the big money that everybody thought they might get, because there's such a big defensive back group coming out of college for the draft. And I think that's probably what the Browns are thinking. Look, they got the counting Paul Kruger – and the defensive tackle from the Raiders, those are the two best guys you could have gotten for those positions that were free agents, in my opinion. I mean, those guys are going to help incredibly on a defense that wasn't that bad to begin with. I mean, Cleveland's problem to me wasn't so much the defense as it was scoring points. They played everybody tough. Tony, you know I'm a big fan of the Browns because it's been so long, you know? And it's hard not to be a fan of the Indians, which we'll talk about here a little bit later. But what do you see happening? I mean, are they still under the cap right now?
Yeah, they're still under the cap. They have some room to work, but if they add anybody right now, it's not going to be anything a big splash. Not that there's really anybody else. I mean, other than at this time, James Harrison's still unsigned, and I doubt he comes to the Browns. He hasn't been involved in any conversations. The other one that has been an intriguing name that's still kind of out there is Aqib Talib. Now, I'm not sure if something broke at all this morning, but Aqib Talib's still available. And if Browns fans even think that they're going to get Elvis Dumervil especially after that situation.
Can you believe that? I didn't even bring that. You know what? I didn't even bring that up with Mike McCartney because I didn't want to put him in a position where he said somebody's a freaking idiot, you know? But basically, that's what happened. I mean, first of all, why are you doing contract? Who does a contract via fax anymore? Anybody? I mean, you know,
The one thing I was talking to somebody yesterday, because everyone was making fax machine jokes, and they said it's still quicker in a way, to get a signature that quickly. It just I don't understand why it took so long for going to the 11th hour and going, hey, wait a second, we don't have Elvis Dumervil signed. So,
oh my God, you know what I was thinking? Because I had this exact same problem earlier this morning. Mountain time, Central time, you know, that's what happens. Listen, the one thing I tell kids, and you're a kid, definitely. The one thing I tell kids is always be early for everything. Because something's going to happen, it's going to throw you back, and then at least you're covered. I do that with all my sports teams. I mean, we literally start practice usually 5 minutes early, sometimes 10 minutes early. And then when a kid rolls in right at the start of practice, everybody gives them a dirty look. I love that. You know, I love that. And I got a feeling that whoever – I'm not going to say – you know, I don't have any idea who his agent is. I can find out real easily. But you know what? There was so much pointing of fingers when this happened. The bottom line is they had that offer at 11 a.m. They didn't even answer them back till 1:20, okay? And I understand that because they're negotiating still. But they said this was the last offer. Now, they also said the previous three offers were their last offer too. I got to think that it's the agent's fault because you cannot get the damn thing there right at, you know, the hour. You got to get it in a half hour early. I mean,
that's true. And also there are reports about him making $8 million in the new deal. It's like for Elvis Dumervil, he could maybe double that if he just went into free agency. So I think that could have possibly been a motive for the agent to continue stalling.
He was negotiating. Right, but you know, see what happened. They took a guy that had, well, first of all, going from 12 to 8 with the year Dumervil had, he really didn't need to do that, but they gave him too much money to begin with, in my opinion. And plus, Denver, you know, Denver has got a lot of talent anyway. There were guys that played behind Dumervil that did a really good job for Denver. They were playing for the minimum. I mean, you know, guys they could bring in. I just think that there's no way that should ever happen. And, to me, it reeks of Denver really didn't care if he left. I find that hard to believe. They can't be happy with what happened, and they're never going to come out and say, well, this GM blew it, you know, or our contracts people blew it. But I got to.
Well, could this be the first time that you see John Elway make a move that's been questionable in the front office? Because bringing in Peyton Manning last year with the whole Tebow saga.
Right, right.
And then. And then all the other moves, and they've just been hitting on everything, it seems. And they were that close to being in the Super Bowl, you think, you know, that even though there was another game to play. But I think if Peyton Manning didn't throw across his body there, then Jacoby Jones with that catch, it's incredible what Denver has done. But do you think overpaying for Wes Welker could have led to this whole Dumervil thing situation going on?
Well, you know, Welker Welker got some good money, no question. He only signed a two-year deal, which was really smart of his agent. And probably it was going to be a one- or two-year deal with Denver anyway, because he's, you know, he's not the youngest guy out there. He has been banged up a little bit. But personally, Denver's got some great receivers besides him. You know, they have two receivers, in my opinion, they're both Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, and Decker's good. They have Demaryius Thomas.
Who's a monster. He's a monster waiting to happen. Listen, you know, Peyton, if anything happened to Peyton between his surgery, between when he was healthy, his surgery, and then last year, he's throwing the ball maybe 5 to 7 or 8% with less velocity. That's why I think they absolutely needed a slot guy. You know, they really didn't know what to do with their slot. They used Decker a lot. They'd bring in a couple other guys. One guy they released. You know, it's going to be an interesting year. I picked Denver already to be in the Super Bowl next year. We're talking to Tony Mazur with WKRK. You still with KRK, aren't you?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pulling in the hours.
Man. Hey, listen, it's hard to find good help, and you're great help. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping. Morning fog with all our hearts that thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl, and you, my brown eyed girl, and whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm on the line right now with Clark Judge with CBS. Clark, you know, you're all. Thank you so much for coming on. We had one of the most exciting weeks, in my opinion. I mean, if you work for NFL Network, they must have just had sleeping bags in the studio because those guys were up, it seemed like, 24 hours at a time. Let's talk a little bit about the free agency market. And who do you think really came out looking pretty good this week?
Well, I like what Kansas City did. They made a lot of moves, but to me, strong moves. I mean, one was the Alex Smith trade. That's not a free agent acquisition, but they needed one quarterback. They got two. They got Chase Daniel and Alex Smith. They needed somebody opposite Dwayne Bowe. They got that guy, Donnie Avery. They found not just one corner. They found two corners, Dante Robinson and Sean Smith. And I thought they got a very underrated defensive tackle, Mike DeVito. They made strong moves. I really like what they've done. I think Detroit did well in Detroit getting Reggie Bush to finally get a legitimate running back, and, you know, getting the help in the secondary. They re-signed Chris Houston. They re-signed Delmas. I thought those were real key additions because a lot of people thought one, if not both of those guys, was going to be gone, and they kept them. And that's important to Gunther Cunningham because they're trying to keep that thing intact. And then they bring in the kid from Houston, Glover Quinn, safety, who was one of the top-rated safeties on the board. And, I mean, that's going to be good for them because if you're playing the same division with Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, you better be able to defend the pass. I would be remiss if I did mention Seattle. I mean, look what Seattle's done. I mean,
unbelievable.
That's the first Harvard deal. Yeah, I mean, they look at themselves, they said, what kept us from going to the conference championship game last year? We couldn't get Matt Ryan in the divisional playoff game. We couldn't pressure the pocket. The reason? Chris Clemens. And you know about that. I mean, Chris Clemens tore up his knee against Washington the week before.
Yeah, former Redskin.
That's right. So he wasn't available. So they didn't have a pass rush. Well, that's not going to happen again after what happened here. They got two big-time pass rushers. Coach Vrabel was a guy that a lot of people were interested in. Same thing with Michael Bennett. He had them to a cast that includes Bruce Irvin, includes Clemens. They're going to get to the pocket, and if they don't, you still got a tremendous secondary back there. So I think essentially Seattle really helped itself as well. I mean, there's some other teams that here and there, but those are the ones that really jumped out at me.
Right.
And in terms of the teams that were hurt, I mean, look at the Jets. I mean, what's left of these guys now?
They got no money anyway, right?
They got no money. They have no money, and basically they weren't a good team anyway. So yeah. They lost a lot of people. They've got four starters on defense under contract now. I mean, that's how bad it is. It's like rats off a sinking ship here. So you don't see anything happening there. Same thing in Buffalo. I mean, they bring in, you know, a marginal free agent, Manny Lawson. But I don't – these are teams that have to start over. So I'm not so sure I like what Cleveland's doing either. Spent a lot of money on Kruger. And people will tell you that Miami really helped itself. I don't know that. I mean, I think on paper they look better. I'm not a big Mike Wallace fan. I think he's good. I don't think he's worth the money they paid him. And they paid him an unbelievable amount of money for a straight-line guy. I mean, this is a guy that's going to score some 80-yard touchdowns, but he dropped some balls the last few years.
Oh, he's dropped. He doesn't catch the ball with his hands. He traps the ball up against his chest half the time.
Yeah, and that's why and that's why Pittsburgh let him go. And I'll ask you this. I mean, when's the last time Pittsburgh or Baltimore
let anybody go?
Who have consequence, where they went on to better things. So I think they know what they're doing. And, again, Miami signed Ellerbe. Well, I mean, Ellerbe was good, yeah, with Baltimore. Is he going to be good down there? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I like Miami. I like kind of some of the moves they made. Obviously, they paid too much for Donnell Ellerbe because the Ravens were never going to do that. And Ellerbe really, from what I understand and read from guys like you, by the way, I'm talking to Clark Judge with CBS on the line. Clark, what I read about Ellerbe is he's never really played an entire season. I mean, he was kind of always a stopgap guy everywhere he went, and he did a good job, and he's got a lot of talent. But what did he get, $12 million a year? I mean,
that's a good question. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
well, Miami has the money to spend. That's why they're doing throw money around. But, you know, people would say you didn't include Baltimore in that list. Yeah, Baltimore should probably be in that list of teams that got hurt because they've lost some people. But in terms of really key people, the key guy I think they lost was Anquan Boldin in a trade. But they did that because they were trying to create cap room and they were going to cut him and they got something in return instead of letting him go for nothing. But Bolden's a descending player. Yeah, he has probably a year or two left. I think that'll hurt Flacco and hurt that offense. But is it going to cripple it? No. And you look at Ellerbe, he has 14 career stars. Kruger, 6 career stars. Okay, I mean, they're young guys who may be something, but the Ravens are saying, we're not going to pay him that. We're not going to pay him based on 1 or 2 years of productivity. We're not going to do that. So I'm not curious that Baltimore – I'm not sure that Baltimore got hammered here. I think they
I think they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Because they've got – Bruce, they've got 12 draft picks. They always do well in the draft.
You know what? And they've got they've got Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh. You know, these guys that tell me Flacco got too much money, I look at them with a straight face and ask them, do you really think that Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh are going to give a guy what he doesn't deserve on the Baltimore Ravens? That's never going to happen. Yeah, they might have given him more than they offered him a month earlier, 2 months earlier, but guess what? He had one of the best postseasons in the history of the league. He's been there 5 years. He's got upside. He's one of the few guys making that much money that actually has upside. At least I think so anyway. And we're talking to Clark Judge with CBS on the phone. Well, Rashard Mendenhall, you know, we were talking about the Steelers. Rashard Mendenhall just signed with Arizona. I mean, what a great – it was a one-year deal, and I happen to know about that because we just had Mike McCartney on the phone who represents him. What do you think about Mendenhall, and do you think he'll get the kind of touches he needs in Arizona?
Well, there's nobody there. I mean, he'll have to because there's nobody else there. He's the best running back they've got. I'm not a Mendenhall fan. I think he brings a lot of baggage. He's been hurt. But it's not a high-risk deal. In fact, it's a low-risk deal. They got a one-year, $2.5 million contract. So Arizona's saying, listen, you want to show us that you're a big-time back? You want to show us that you can be the guy that we haven't had here? Do it this year, because then next year you got another contract season. Go out and get yourself a big contract. Maybe you'll get it here. So to me, it's a low risk. It's a no-brainer. Bring him in there because they've got nobody else. Plus, Arians had him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he knows what he's got. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm a sailor. Hey!
Brewers Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm on the line right now with Clark Judge with CBS. Clark, let's talk about the Jets and the Giants. Giants are doing what they always do, being very careful in free agency. Don't know what the cap room looks like. What do you see happening with the Giants? And then what do you see happening with the Jets? Which is going to be a lot easier to talk about.
Yeah, the Giants are playing it close to the vest because they really have very little wiggle room. And they've lost some players. I mean, Kenny Phillips goes to the Eagles. They've lost some guys. Canty, of course, goes to Baltimore, which I thought was a good signing by Baltimore.
Absolutely.
They've lost some players, but not really key players. They're doing, as you said, what they normally do, which is not a lot. And they think they've got a core that's going to take them to the top of the division this year. But that remains to be seen. They got criticized 2 years ago for letting so many people go and not doing anything.
Then they won
the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. And so and they weren't the best team that year. They were the best team in the playoffs, like Baltimore was last year. They got hot at the right time. Well, that's what it takes. And so they feel as long as they've got this core intact, they'll be fine. The problem is they've got Victor Cruz, who's a restricted free agent. They're trying to get him to a long-term deal. I think he will not take that, and he could be restricted this year, hoping he gets Mike Wallace money next year. But he's not a wide receiver. He's a slot receiver. If you notice, the slot receivers didn't get big money this week.
Right.
Amendola and Welker, they didn't get big contracts. So he may be in for a wake-up call because – he and Hakeem Nicks both have contracts expire at the same time. It'd be tough to keep both of them. If that's the case, I would think the Giants probably go after Nicks first and Cruz next. And probably one of them stays, Nicks, and Cruz probably is the guy that goes. But that's down the road. Here with the Jets that you mentioned, I mean, the guys are leaving like crazy here. I mean, the exit doors are open and everyone's walking out. They've lost a lot of people. But again, it was a 6-10 team. And they're bringing in people of really no consequence in my mind. I mean, so you bring in, the running back Woodson from Oakland. Okay, I mean, he's a backup running back. You've got to get somebody else in there. You're bringing in David Garrard. Are you kidding me?
I mean, he's an East Carolina Pirate, buddy.
That's right.
I don't see that, but I will say this. 2 years ago, I saw Garrard. Might have been 3 years ago. I saw him beat the Cowboys by 30 in the Cowboys' new stadium. But that was a Jacksonville team that was okay. But he's never healthy, ever.
No, that's what I'm going to say. He hasn't played in a while. He's been hurt. Now, the Kevin Cobb situation, if they bring him in here, that makes sense to me. But it's the same deal with Kevin Cobb. He's got talent. He gets hurt all the time. He's not durable. And that's what cost him in Philadelphia. Remember, they gave him the starting job after Donovan McNabb was traded, and it lasted for one half. He got hurt in the first half of the Green Bay game. Boom, in comes Michael Vick, and it's over for Cobb. He gets sent to Arizona. Got hurt in Arizona, and now he may be back in the East Coast playing with Marty Morningweg in New York. That makes sense to me.
Absolutely, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense too. Sanchez is Sanchez. That's basically dead money looking for a place to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel for John Idzik, the new GM of the Jets, because he doesn't have much to play with here. I mean, they had all sorts of salary cap problems left over from the previous administration, and he's got unsigned players, and so he's got to let a lot of these guys walk, and they're walking. I mean, they're going out the door. As I mentioned, DeVito is gone. They lost Keller, Sean Green. Just go down the
Landry's
list.
Gone. Yeah.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of people. So
They picked up his little brother, I think.
LaRon
Landry's brother, yeah.
They've got to start over, and that's why I think the Revis trade or a trade of Revis makes a lot of sense, because if you get draft picks for him, start rebuilding now. Start rebuilding this team.
Well, they're writing him a check for $1 million today, aren't they? I mean, I think he's got $1 million due today, and they got to write the check because they got nothing for him right now.
Well, and nor will you, because he can't get out on the field and run, and nobody's going to try to get this guy until they see what they've got.
Yeah, now Kenny Phillips jumped to the Eagles. What do you think about that? That's a little
interesting, because I talked to somebody who knows that situation, and he said that the Giants weren't going to try to keep him because he's never been the player since he had that microfracture surgery. He was a dominant safety early in his career. Then he had the knee injury, had the microfracture surgery. It hasn't been the same since. And they weren't going to keep him. And I said, so that makes Stevie Brown what, the starter? He goes, no, we think Stevie Brown's a backup. We're looking at someone in free agency. They got Mundy from Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's the guy, but they'll either get somebody in free agency or the draft to plug in there. But safeties now becomes a priority for them.
Now, you were talking earlier, and I'm going to let you go here in a minute because I know you got to take somebody to a recital or something, which I wish
I
was.
I got to take my daughter to a parade. I got to take my daughter to a
parade. How cool is that? Every once in a while on the show, my phone will go off. It sounds like Rodney Dangerfield's golf cart. And daughter just hit a grand slam for Gettysburg College about 15 minutes ago. Matt was having a heart attack. Let me ask you one thing. It looks like the slot receivers, this is something I learned. You know, if you don't learn anything listening to talk radio, especially in sports, I feel like you're wasting your time. But Knicks is going to get, you know, wide receiver money when he gets his money. And basically, Cruz is going to get slot receiver money, even though he's a great receiver, and I think everybody agrees to that. The biggest slot money has been what, $6 million?
What you're looking at is you're looking at Amendola and Welker, and Welker got 2 years, $12 million. Amendola got 2 years, 5 years, $28.5 million.
Yeah,
and so you look at those two contracts, you go, hey, Victor Cruz, you're not getting a payday. You think this is not Mike Wallace money now. He's not Wes Welker because he's younger, except at the same time, Wes Welker's been a lot more productive in a different system in terms of catches and that sort of thing. But Victor Cruz can make the argument, listen, I'm younger, I'm more of a deep threat. Okay, all right, I get that. You're still a slot receiver. And basically the message from the NFL this week was, we're paying our wide receivers. We're not going to pay the slot receivers. So I think he's in for an eye-opening experience if and when he tests the free agent market.
Now, Ed Reed's still out there, and let me tell you, I don't think the safety money's there either, and I think that has a lot to do with all the corners and all the defensive backs coming out of the draft this year. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it wasn't a particularly talented group. I mean, I thought Clever Quinn probably was at the top of that heap. And, Delmas was near there, but Delmas is hurt all the time, too.
Yep.
So those guys are off the board. They're off the board. And then you got Ed Reed. Ed Reed turns 35. I mean, he's a descending player. He's not the same guy he was. I will tell you this. I can almost guarantee that I think this is going to happen. I think he goes back to Baltimore, much as Ray Lewis did in 2009, and completes the legacy, plays for maybe two more years, retires as a Raven, and leaves as a hero. And that's what he should do. He should take the money there and stay there because the legacy will remain intact.
Well, he's the leader now. I mean, Ray's gone.
Sure he is.
He's the guy.
Sure he is. He's the go-to guy. He's a spokesman for the team. He can become the face of that franchise, although I think Flacco is going to be that as well now. But you look at Ed Reed and you go, oh, Ed Reed, great Baltimore Raven. And you think, Ed Reed, great Houston Texan? Uh-uh, no. Stay with Baltimore and retire as a Raven.
I couldn't agree more. All right, I'm going to put the pressure on you real quick and let you go, Clark. All right. I want to know who your Super Bowl teams are right now for next year. And listen, we're never going to put this back on unless you're right. Okay? Who do you like right now?
I'll take Seattle and Denver.
Oh, I've only got one of yours. I got Denver and San Francisco.
I think you're right.
I think Denver made some decent little moves too. You know, I mean,
they were the best team in the AFC this year and were not for Raheem Moore, they would have beaten Baltimore. But, of course, you know, those things happen. Baltimore caught all the breaks for the right reasons. That's what happens when teams are hot. And Baltimore won for a good reason because they were the best team in the playoffs. But Denver can look at that game and say, that should have been us. With the exception of that one play, if that play doesn't happen, we're going to play New England here, and we're going to win, and we're going to be in the Super Bowl. I think this year they probably are.
How about 4th and 29 in San Diego if that doesn't happen?
4th and 29 in San Diego is unbelievable. Yeah.
On a check down. Yeah, at 29 yards, you're only going to have one guy standing there anyway. You expect somebody is going to catch him up. Listen, Clark Judge, people. All my people out there with CBS Sports, Clark, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Have a great time at the parade, will you, buddy?
Always a pleasure, Bruce. Thank you.
You got it. Clark Judge, CBS Sports, talking NFL football, and it doesn't get any better than free agency. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I said, stay out of the world, you live on the devil. He may take you, but you're in.
on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm happy to say I'm on the line with Mike Wise, who's a buddy of mine. He's with the Washington Post still, and actually started out, you were with the Times. You were with the New York Times, weren't you, back in the 90s?
Yeah, you got it, Bruce. 94 to 2004, I was hired to cover the Nets for a year, and then I covered the Knicks, and I was an NBA, a pro basketball columnist, and I covered Olympics and boxing matches and anything they sent me to. It was a great job.
Now, you graduated from Fresno State. You're from Napa, right?
Yeah, I was born in Napa, and we moved up and down the Bay Area when I was a kid, and we moved to Hawaii when I was 12, and I actually spent my formative years over there, went to high school over there, and made it back to California, finished school, and ended up in New York on a lark about 20 years ago in a moment that changed my journalism career.
Well, you ended up in D.C. in 2004. And
yes.
To be honest with you, I'm not a big Post fan, but I'm a big fan of yours, as you know. You do still have some good columnists with the Post. The thing that makes me so angry, because you know me, I'm old, and I love to read newspapers. Hell, I'm reading a New York Post as we speak, which is probably more like a magazine than it is a newspaper, but it's got great stories in it, and their sports page kind of blows ours away because, you know, I can go through the Post sports section in 10 minutes, and that's just the nature of the beast. Now, people can get you on Twitter, Mike. What's your Twitter handle?
At Mike Wise Guy. At Mike Wise Guy, yeah.
And I will say that you are absolutely one of the best people to communicate with on Twitter, because you actually do try to get as many people involved as possible, including yours truly. And, and hell, that's how we kind of get together all the time. And Clark Judge was on before you today. I had Mike McCartney, you know, whose dad coached the Colorado Buffaloes at one time and was a big promise keeper guy. And we had him on the line.
Yeah.
I met all those guys through Twitter. So, I'm just glad that you were able to come on today.
You know what Twitter is, Bruce? Twitter is like adult crank calling. The only problem is they can trace your number.
Yeah, well, you know what? I make sure I don't say anything I don't mean. I mean, I haven't been that mean to anybody that wasn't mean first, and I've noticed that about you. What famous people like you, Mike, do when people send them nasty tweets? You just retweet them.
If they tell me to go off myself, I just think if you're going to go that far, you deserve a retweet.
Well, you know what else happens is that all your followers, and there are five figures worth of followers at least usually, I'd say 10% of them send a nasty note to them, and then they're not so happy with Twitter anymore.
Right. You get your jihad working for you on Twitter.
That's absolutely true. Listen. Living in D.C., like you do, you're a big sports fan. The Nationals had a great year last year. You know I'm a baseball and a wrestling guy, and I love all sports. But, Mike, you are one of the few columnists and few radio guys, because you're a great radio guy, Mike.
Thank you.
In my opinion. Your show was one of the few shows I listened to. Mike Wise's show, a network that will go without saying, because I don't want to say anything about
Chris,
it anyway. But
no, that's all right. Well, Chris Johnson,
CJ.
I could have done it without him.
Yeah, well, CJ, CJ was my co-host for a year. And I love CJ, and me and you and CJ stay in touch. But I got to tell you, we had a pretty good year in Washington this year compared to most. We're not talking about anything that happens at the Verizon Center right now, but talking baseball and football. The Redskins made the playoffs for the first time in, 13 years or so?
Yeah.
Might have been longer than that.
They hosted their first home playoff game in 13 years. They've been to the playoffs
right.
2007. But, I mean, all intents and purposes, I mean, in 14 years, I think Dan Snyder fielded four playoff teams, and his teams have won two playoff games. So it's been a dearth and a drought in Washington for a long time, and there was for the first time in a long time there's genuine excitement.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, I see you at Nationals Park from time to time, and I got to tell you, you know, what the Nationals did last year, they came up one inning short is all they did, or they'd have been playing San Francisco for the pennant, and who knows what would have happened if they'd have played them. San Francisco, though, it was like a perfect storm. Once again, my old buddy Bruce Bochy, who you know because he's called into your show on more than one occasion.
Yeah, I know through you. You hooked me up.
Well, I wasn't even going to say that because I'm getting ready. I leave tomorrow morning. One of the reasons, by the way, Mike, we're taping this show, which is great, Mike, because we can screw up and then we can get it off the air. is I'm leaving tomorrow morning, like at 6 a.m. on Southwest for Arizona. Where it's 90 plus, from what I understand, all week. I'm going to go out there and play golf and watch and do all my interviews like I did last year. Now, I've been lucky enough, knowing Boach, that for two out of the last 3 years, I interviewed the world champions, all of them. So it gives me a lot of stuff I can put on the air when I'm not around, and I'll do an interview with Brandon Crawford, or I'll do an interview with Brandon Belt, or I'll do an interview with Pablo Sandoval or Boach or all those guys. That's fun. The Nationals are right there, though, and that's got to be exciting for the people in Washington, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially Bruce, I mean, you can make an argument that real baseball hadn't come here until two seasons ago when you thought you had a chance. And Frank Robinson was obviously a great manager, but he didn't have very great teams, and the Learners didn't spend any money early on.
Right.
So they used that park, Nationals Park. It's a very nice park. It's not as nice as, you know, Monster Park, but it's a great facility, and it's a good fan experience. They used that as their free agent, and they never got anybody worth a damn, to be honest, until a couple years ago, and they never kept anybody. And now you got a feeling where, boy, you got speed on the base paths. You got probably the best rotation in the National League. Only other team I'd put in front of them in the majors are probably the Tigers. And you got all the, you got these great arms. You got these two kids, Strasburg and Harper, who have excited the fan base. And all of a sudden you got a team to beat. And that hasn't happened forever here. So on that level, it's exciting. It's just exciting to be a part of it, and it's really, as many people say, it's a renaissance of Washington sports right now.
Yep, since the time of Walter Johnson, to be specific, and that was a long time. Look, I'm old, but I'm not that old. Hey, listen, Mike, let's talk about something near and dear to your heart. You came out with a column not long ago, and you've been on the side of this from time to time, and there are several people in the Washington area, prominent people, like Jim Vance. Jim Vance could run for mayor and get elected. If Jim Vance ran for president, he would get elected. But and Bruce Hall, me, we're all on this side. We feel like that the name Redskins has been the name Redskins long enough. It's not, you know, it's not a positive word for Native Americans. Mike, tell me a little bit about how you got into it and where this is right now.
Well, I mean, look, I kind of get where some of the people are on this that want to keep the name, and they just think, you know, we got so much damn PC crap in our society, and why would you think that that's offensive given that there's not a whole lot of Native Americans left anyway? And who are you to be offended for them? It's just a bunch of white guilt, and you're a bunch of social crusading liberals that need to get a grip and just suck it up and know that, that the tradition of that name has been there. And I put myself in those people's shoes. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong, and, you know, just because they like that name. And they like, but then you run into an actual American Indian. And he tells you a story that he was in a border town. His name's Robert Holden. He's the deputy director of the National Congress of American Indians. He tells you the story about being called the Dirty Redskin as a kid and what that did to his self-esteem and how that could have been Dirty N-word or that could have been Dirty Cracker or that could have been any slang for a Jewish person, Hispanic person in this country. And you know what it means to him. And you look in that guy's eyes, you can't sit here and say, get over it. Just deal with it. It's the name of the team. You can't do it. And I would challenge any fan, the most ardent fan, Bruce Allen, anybody, the general manager of the Skins who grew up with his father as the coach, I challenge them to stand in front of a guy like that and say it doesn't matter. Because once you run into that guy, and I ran into a guy in Minnesota one year, his name was Phil St. John, Sioux Indian. He basically told the story of taking his kid to a high school basketball game. And a white kid in war paint at halftime is running around going, patting his mouth in the kid's face. Five-year-old son turns away in shame. He's like, Dad, that's what we do at powwow. He starts crying. He realizes, he sees a direct link, which now a psychologist, professor at Arizona has, to these images and these mascots to the self-esteem of these kids. And you say, okay, well, don't they have bigger problems? They got the highest rates of suicide and alcoholism per capita in the world on these reservations. And the guy says to me, you know what? That stuff speaks to our self-esteem. And when these self-esteems are ruined, that's why some of these kids wind up like this.
We're talking about...
You know what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, but I was just going to say that when a guy makes that kind of argument to you, you all of a sudden realize, maybe it's not a bunch of social engineer liberal crusaders running around saying, everybody's feelings are hurt.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? I you know me, and you, we know each other well enough that you know a little bit about my politics. I'm a immediate middle of the road conservative. But I don't think it's right. Listen, at Manio High School in Manio, North Carolina, they used to be the Redskins. They haven't been the Redskins in years. And that's Manio, North Carolina, on the Outer Banks. Right next to the Lost Colony. Hello? There's a reason.
That's a great point. The guy I was talking about, Phil St. John, at the end of that story was, the guy didn't come out and, become a militant and say, you're wrong, you're racist, change your name. He went around and did 39 thoughtful presentations about how this links to kids' self-esteem to 39 Minnesota high schools. Every one of them, Bruce, changed their name. But an NFL team in the nation's capital that has the National Museum of the American Indian can't do it.
Now, Mike, we're gonna be peeling away here in about 30 seconds, but let me just tell you this. What I really like about this entire situation is there is some action being taken finally. It has to do, I think, with the IRS ruling on what the Redskins and the NFL teams actually are. They're exempt from certain codes, correct?
Yeah, that and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office basically is deciding now whether enough Native Americans are offended to say that they can't have this trademark registration. And what that does, in layman's terms is, Bruce, if Dan Snyder loses this case, you and I could start a Redskin superstore down the block, and he wouldn't have any say over him taking the name, and it would destroy him economically with paraphernalia and marketing, and he'd be forced to change the name.
Well, there you go. Listen, we're going to be back in a minute, Mike. Would you hold on for me? You're listening. I'm on the phone with Mike Wise. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. You just can't fall.
Back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm on the phone with Mike Wise, columnist for the Washington Post newspaper. Just a phenomenal guy in general. We're talking about the Redskins and their name, the Washington Redskins, using the name Redskins and what's going on because of it. Michael, we'll just pick up where we left off. Now, we were talking a little bit during the break about what somebody would be able to do if this group of of Native Americans win their lawsuit with the Redskins, what would be able to happen? What is going to happen to the Redskins organization?
Well, first of all, they would file an appeal like they did last time. The difference is the last time it was overturned by a higher court. This time, because the statute has changed, it would go to another court. The American Indians lawyers are convinced that if this trademark board says that the name is offensive and it strips the trademark rights, they think the appeal will go their way too. So at that point, I think, you know, and they're supposed to render a decision within a year. At that point, I'll be surprised, Bruce, if within 5 years, if you don't see a new name. I'll be shocked, in fact, because even if they don't win that case, there's so many people fired up right now beyond the American Indian base that someone's going to launch a boycott, I bet you, within 2 years of FedEx or a major corporate sponsor of the team or the NFL. And at that moment, they don't even have to feel it's offensive. They just have to feel like they could lose money. And Roger Goodell will make Dan Snyder change the name.
You know, and you know what? It's amazing to me, since he's stuck his nose into everything else, that Commissioner Goodell, what Brian Mitchell and I call him, and listen, Roger, it's not Roger's fault that all of these things are happening under his watch, but just like, and I hate to make this a political thing, Mike, but just like when you have new presidents in office, some people always challenge you. Do you know what I mean? And it's very important. I mean, like, you know, it's very important to me that something be done with this, because you couldn't have been more right when you said if this happens anywhere else, they just take the name down. All the high schools, why do they do it? They do it because they got kids. I coached at South Lakes High School. You've been there, Mike. We have kids from 50 different countries at that school, including American Indians. And I'm telling you right now, if you think, I mean, they're very careful what things are called. I mean, there's so many high schools across the country have changed their name from a lot of different things. Rebels, you'll never see that anywhere. But, you know, if you go south of Richmond or go to Richmond, you know, the Confederate States of America was part of our heritage, but yet they've managed to get that taken out of almost every school in the country. How does Redskins stay in? They used to be Americans. They were the Americans when we landed in boats and came here. So I think,
you know, sometimes, I mean, and I get this too, where, for instance, a lot of people are Boy Scouts, and we made a goofy looking headdress, or we dressed up as an Indian as a kid for Halloween, and it was sort of like something you did, and it was almost like I always wanted to be the Indians because they were the underdogs to the Cowboys, and I even had a Redskins rain poncho. I asked my grandma to buy me one out of the JCPenney catalog when I was a kid for Christmas, because I thought it was a great logo, and I was an Indian. Well, you kind of, as you get older, you realize that playing Indian and playing dress up, doing what you depicting of people like you think they're supposed to be, isn't what they want to be. You know, they don't want to be warriors and the savages or you know, noble fighters. You know, that's what we made them when we went to war with them. They were hunters and gatherers. They want to be doctors, lawyers, and teachers and students. They don't want to be thought of as like a bad caricature from an old Western.
Exactly.
So I get all that. I just get all that. But my thing is, I don't think the people that still celebrate the name are wrong, but, you know, you can't call it a tradition. I mean, you can. You could say, you know, hey, it's 80 years of tradition. We even call it the Redskins. Yeah, okay. So lynching was a tradition. You know, that wasn't a very good one. We got rid of that.
No, the Nazis were a tradition.
Blackface was a tradition. Remember Amos and Andy?
Yeah.
You know what? We got rid of that. A lot of people thought that was offensive. So, you know, and when people say there's not that many Native American offended, all right, well, so what? There were African American people that thought blackface was funny until some of their elders and wiser people in their ethnic minority base said, hey, by the way. They're making fun of us.
Yeah, they're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you.
Yeah.
And you know what? So, they would be correct, even if they were only correct 10 or 20% of the time from the people watching. That's still 10 to 20%. That need to be taken out. And that, and in my opinion, this is a really noble thing. Real quick, Mike, while we've got time, let's talk about NCAA. We got the matchups coming up for March Madness tomorrow night, Sunday evening, usually what, 5:30, I guess, after the last games are over with. As a matter of fact, yep. I think a lot of times there's a game going on when they're still getting the brackets together. I know you're big on brackets. I listen to you every year. Okay, who do you think's going to be there? I mean, and who do you think are the favorites to be in the Final Four right now?
I mean, it really is a crapshoot of a year, Bruce. And any team could win it. Something tells me that Indiana's going to find a way. Now, any team could probably, that gets into them physically, could knock them out.
Right.
They like winning 85 to 72 games. Once you turn it into a rock fight of 45-43, like a Cincinnati would, you know, Cincinnati with a little more skill. I'd have to think of another team. A Marquette, maybe. Georgetown could be done. You know, they could be done. But I like them going far. I like them going into the Final Four. Gonzaga is good, but they're just not tough enough. And they got the good Olenek's a great player. Kelly Olenek's been good. They're just not tough enough. Gonzaga won't be there. I'm sorry. Unless they get a great draw, I'd be surprised if the Zags made it to the Final Four. I still like some of the power conference teams. I still like Tom Izzo at Michigan State.
No, he's always there. He makes it to the Elite Eight a lot.
Yeah, he makes it to the Final Four a lot.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy with worse teams, worse talent, find a way to get there. I wouldn't be surprised if he had two Big Ten teams like that there. I still don't like Ohio State. I like Michigan State. I like Indiana. I like Duke, believe it or not. People can't stand Duke. Ryan Kelly's made them a different team, even though they got beat by Maryland the other night. They're a different team. I wouldn't be surprised if Duke got there. Miami's still, I think, in Cinderella land. They don't realize how big this is. I don't see them getting there. And then my upset special, Bruce, a team you think that has no shot of getting there whatsoever. Do you know who's going to represent the other Final Four team in America?
No, Michael?
Western Kentucky. No, I just made that up.
I don't even know. I don't even know if the Hilltoppers are gonna get. I don't think they're gonna make it. I don't think they're even gonna win their division or their conference this year.
I don't know. I think that I don't know if they got in or not. It doesn't matter. They'll be out for the first weekend.
Well, you know who's usually around. And they haven't had a particularly great year, but they play in Conference USA. There's nobody there except them. Is Memphis? Memphis is always pretty tough, but I don't see them going with an Indiana, you know, because they'd have to outscore somebody. Wisconsin's scary in a little way.
Yeah,
you know,
there's some timey. I call them some timey. You know, every now and then they show up and they beat the number one team, and you think they're special, and the next night they just look putrid. I can't endorse Wisconsin.
I can't go with Butler either because I saw him get beat by almost 30 points this year. I watched that game. It's like the only game I saw him play.
You're right. Butler, it's going to be tough to get a Cinderella team in there because there really is no VCU or Butler like a couple years ago. Yeah, they're both going to make the tournament, but could they get to the Final Eight with a miracle run? They're not. I don't think they make the Final Four. That's just me. I think the last team in all fairness is going to come from the West. And can you guess which team that is?
New Mexico. How about New Mexico?
I didn't forget that.
Well, because New Mexico, my co-host who's not here today, Roy Boy.
He loves New Mexico. And you know what?
They play defense. Steve Alford's team plays defense.
Steve Alford's tough as hell, too. And I got to tell you something. You know, that entire area of the country has a lot better teams this year than they've had in a long time, which is why a lot of people, you know, are writing off Gonzaga. You know, the Zags, yeah, they're number one now, but I've watched them play a couple of times, Mike. To me, they just don't bang enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, the referees.
They got these 3-point shooters. Sometimes they're on. When they're off, you know, it's like that live by the bomb, die by the bomb thing. They've turned 20-point leads into 2-point wins because they get too trigger happy from the outside. I think they're dangerous, but they're still. They could make the Final Four. They'd have to have a heck of a run and run into almost no physical teams because a physical team will take them out of their game in ways people don't realize.
Hey, how bad is the SEC this year? Is that amazing? I mean, they're just
terrible. Even consider that. Outside of Florida, I don't even consider
that. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Bill Donovan could get.
The SEC should be Florida in basketball, and they should contract the other teams and throw them into D2.
Well, there's a lot of that stuff happening. We had a guy on the show a couple of weeks ago that was telling us where everybody's going. And it looks like Duke and Carolina finally upset enough people to get them the hell out of Dodge. And now it looks like Carolina and Duke are going to be the ones left with the ACC. Michael, we got about a minute left. Let me ask you this. Redskins this year. Let's just talk. The NFL this past week was amazing. Everything's becoming a production. We had Clark Judge on earlier. You know, we were talking NFL football. If Robert Griffin is healthy for the first game of the season and he stays healthy, do the Redskins go all the way to the final game of the NFC playoffs?
No. No,
who do you think's
going to? The salary cap penalties really hurt them.
Yeah,
they lost guy, heart and soul guys like Lorenzo Alexander, who's not, you know, he just made the Pro Bowl. He's going to probably start at linebacker in Arizona this year. They had to cut D'Angelo Hall, who everybody wanted gone in many ways. But
me,
still, the guy was.
I tackle better than he does, Mike, and I'm 60 almost.
Yeah, you're right. But the guy does. For whatever reason, I mean, the guy, let's put it this way. He was a cornerback on a 30th-ranked pass defense that really didn't have a cornerback. Is he Pro Bowl? No. Is he serviceable? Probably. But either way, he was gone. You know, if they don't get creative in free agency, Robert Griffin III is not going to have the supporting cast around him to get that far. Could they win a playoff game? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they go to the NFC Championship next year.
Well, you know what, Mike? I can't thank you enough for being on. It was great to talk to you for this long. I miss you. I miss you on the air. But we're going to have you back on, okay? And I want to talk next time we get together a little bit about another article that you wrote recently, which is why is everybody moaning and groaning about what the league did to the Redskins? Because you're right. I mean, you know, you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. I totally agree with you, Mike.
Hey.
It's great talking to you. We'll be back soon, okay?
Bruce, you're the best. And anybody that calls Bruce Boch, I'm with.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen. Hey, I'll bring you back something cool from out there. Maybe I'll bring you back a picture. I'll bring you back a picture of me and him signed.
There you go.
All right, buddy. Hey, that was Mike Wise of the Washington Post, one of the good guys on print. Well, it's been a good day. It has, Matt. And it's great having you here. Sorry I didn't get any soccer in for you, Matthew.
That's okay, as long as I can keep it on the TV during the recording.
He's got it on television right now. Listen.
Vamos United.
Hey, we'll see you next week, people, where I'll actually be in Arizona, and I'll be doing the show from out there. Roy will be here in the studio. You've listened to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS. Drive safe, people. No.